Well, this is pretty good timing for the song Hey Joe, the country version of Hey Joe, because live from the Fort Worth Club, in Fort Worth, of course, at the Davey O'Brien Awards, the guy who is going to get the award and flash it for everybody, a little bit later on tonight, joins us. He is Heisman Trophy winner, Davey O'Brien winner, Maxwell. Did you win the Maxwell?
Did.
Good job. And, of course, national champion over all of that, the great Joe Burrow. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good, man. Welcome to Texas. You got a mid-February 83-degree day.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
But you're used to that mess down there.
Yeah, we're used to that in Baton Rouge.
Is that why you cut your hair?
Yeah, it is.
The heat?
It was way too hot with the flow going, so I definitely had to cut that before camp.
I mean, was that hard? Because it takes a long time to grow your hair out.
Yeah, it was hard. You know, I've had long hair a couple of times the last few years, and it just gets to a certain point that you want to cut it, and it's just gets a little too much.
Will it make a comeback?
I don't know. We'll see. Probably not for a couple of years until I establish myself.
Well, just embrace it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not there forever, Joe.
Coming here for this guy.
Might be forever. It's not for all of us, I'll put it that way. So the thing that jumps out to me, though, is your several trips to Texas, the one to A&M last year was incredibly memorable. The one to Austin this year was memorable.
Yeah.
Those are kind of landmarks along the way for you at LSU, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, for sure. Each one was different ends of the emotion spectrum, but they were both interesting in their own way.
I feel like the one in Aggieland, I was at that game, and of course that's a 7 overtime, 74-72 game. I feel like, and clearly you were well known before that, but that one showed a certain side of you, courage, getting up over and over again that I wasn't fully aware of before that, and that really got me prepared for 2019, I guess.
Yeah. It wasn't the most fun game in the world. It was we thought we had it won a couple of times, and
for sure.
Then we didn't, and then we didn't again, and then we didn't again, and then we ended up losing. So, and then actually after that game, it was a late night game. I think it started at 8.
Yeah.
So we got done midnight, 12:30. We're flying back to Baton Rouge, and there's fog over, so we couldn't land in Baton Rouge, so we had to land in New Orleans, and then they couldn't communicate that to the buses, so we had to sit on the plane until they told the buses, hey, come get us in New Orleans, so we had to wait for the buses to drive an hour to New Orleans, and we had to drive all the way back, so we ended up getting back at like 6:30 in the morning after that loss.
So you hated A&M, like, for reasons beyond the game, like, your whole weekend was just completely ruined.
Yeah, it was.
It was. And at the time...
But then we beat them 50-7 this year.
I was going to say,
At the time, the state of Louisiana was in no mood for controversial calls, and I feel like that night had a few of them.
Yes, it definitely did.
It seemed like that filled up social media just a little bit. Then, you know, basically to start off 2019, that punched everybody in the face that LSU is not to be messed with this season.
Yep, we were going to come out throwing, and I think that's the game that, you know, we threw for a bunch of touchdowns in the first game, but it was a team that we were supposed to do that against, and then we kind of wanted to come out and show everyone that this is who we were going to be this year against Texas.
Third and 17, or third and 16, whatever that was.
17.
Third and 17.
Sure,
man,
was.
That to me, that's the defining play of y'all's season. I'm not saying that your defense wasn't going to hold them if you guys ended up punting, but for you in particular, I've seen that play like 50 times. I don't know how you made that throw. You had guys coming in from both sides, and it kind of, you know, seeing you play over and over after that, it kind of led me to this, that you had, not only were you deadly accurate all year, but the trust you had in your guys to be at the right place at the right time is freaking psychotic.
Yeah.
Some of those, and that was like the first of a many.
Yeah, so there were a lot of different angles to that play. Third and 17, it was a 4-minute drill, so we could have just gone out and run the ball three times, given it back to him with a minute. We decided to throw it three times. We ended up scoring a touchdown, but Texas brought cover zero with a spy on me in case I decided to run, so they're bringing one more than we could block, and I knew if I just stepped up in the pocket a little bit, found my way through. My guys were going to get open for me. And I actually worked on that exact throw a lot this offseason. Big emphasis for me, last offseason, I should say, big emphasis for me was off-platform, off-rhythm throws that, you know, you just kind of go out and see what you can get away with throwing into a net. So I would, you know, jump off the ground, hips that way, see if I could do it. So I did that a lot. And then, you know, the biggest difference for me this year and last year was I got a whole offseason to work with my guys. Like you said, I knew where they were going to be, when they were going to be there, and they knew, they trusted me to not be late with the ball. If I'm throwing a post into cover one, I'm going to put it on them, and they're not going to get messed up by that middle of field safety. So there was trust both ways as far as when the ball was going to be there and when they were going to be at the spot I thought they were going to be.
This is Joe Burrow, the Heisman Trophy winner, the Davey O'Brien Award winner, and every other award, it seems like, in 2019. 60 touchdowns. And there's a line when evaluating quarterbacks, or probably when playing quarterback, that cover zero goes from terrifying to awesome. And you get really excited because of the opportunities of nobody back there kind of helping out anyone. And when you hit Jefferson, my first thought is, what is Texas doing there? Because that wasn't working very well, and not that they brought a ton of those, but you guys had a lot of hookups there, and that field, that felt pretty risky to me from the defense to try that on you, and I think you demonstrated why.
Yeah, but here, I mean, I actually thought it was a good call. I knew it was coming because based off film study, that's what they do in those critical situations, but 3rd and 17, you got to throw the ball down the field. So if you bring cover zero, do something in the pocket until someone gets open down the field.
Right.
So I thought it was a really good call. We just ended up making a play on offense.
So what's the key on that, Joe? You said you worked on it the second phase of the game. It's clearly something you're amazing at. The eye level stays up. You're able to shift around. What are some of your, like what are you telling yourself? What are the coaching points on that second phase? Like, it's written up. Now it's time to improvise. What are you trying to do? Because you're doing it well.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with what the receivers are doing. And, you know, there's certain rules that we had in scramble drill. You know, if you're low, go high and come back. So it's second part of the route kind of stuff. You know, you have your individual route first, and then you see me start to break pocket, break contain, and then you go to your second part of your route. If you're deep, go come up and go back. If you're low, go back and come up. So you have that second part of the route to get separation from those defenders.
So we've sat here the last couple of years with Baker and Kyler and those two guys ended up going number one because of us, we like to think.
Yeah.
Not because of anything that they did on the
maybe
field.
You guys can help me out then.
That's what we're trying to do here, Joe. That's exactly what we're trying to do. How quickly does your attention turn from, because, I mean, you had, like, the biggest freak show season of all time, and it ends in the perfect manner and all that, and you're celebrating, you're getting the awards. At what point are you like, all right, the pro football now? Like,
yeah,
when do you start thinking?
That's something I really thought about a lot because, you know, you want to go through this draft process and being as impressive as possible, but when you're in a situation that I'm in, you also want to get yourself ready to play and have a successful first year. So I'm trying to balance those two things right now with rest and still working really hard, because, I mean, this time right here is usually the time that you're not throwing a lot, the time that, you know, you're lifting a lot, getting your body back from what it was after the season, letting your arm rest a little bit, but you can't do that because I'm getting ready to throw in front of, I'm going to have a job interview in which I'm going to throw the football, so I can't take that rest time. So I'm going to have to find that rest time here in the next couple of months to have that successful first year and try to keep this as close to my routine in the offseason as possible.
So right now, are you spending a lot of time in San Clemente? Is that where you are?
Dana Point.
Oh, Dana Point. Okay, yeah. So it's Josh Allen, it's Sam Darnold, it's you, and it's just kind of a group of big-time throwers.
It's those guys. It's Kyle Allen, Steven Montez from Colorado, and then Cole McDonald from Hawaii. And
it's real ugly out there, too. It's a real awful place to train.
Yeah, terrible weather. But they're all, you know, it's a good environment to, you know, you don't get a lot of time with just quarterbacks out there, and it's a good time to, you know, tinker with your game and take things from a lot of different people that you hear.
So the jump for you from 18 to 19, you've had a couple jumps along the way. People like to ask you about leaving Ohio State. I'm not kind of interested in between year one and year two at LSU, just because that, okay, now we're talking Joe Brady. We're talking way fewer seven-man protections, yeah, more five-man protections, get guys out in routes. That felt like something, you know, the next level should be looking at on what really sets you on fire, right?
Yeah, that's something that, you know, I was really passionate about, because what I'm really good at is understanding what the defense is doing before they do it. So I can, if we're in five-man protection and you want to pressure me, I can get those blitzes picked up and keep my back out. And when you blitz, you got less guys in coverage, so I have more guys out on the route against less guys in coverage. There's just more space.
Right.
And so if I can get those blitzes picked up in five-man protection, there's going to be people open. And so that's something that I was really, really good at, and our O-line was really, really good at as well, and we had great coaches that gave us the answers to a lot of different things.
How did they sell you? How did LSU sell you? I know you didn't go to too many places leaving Ohio State. You went to Cincinnati and LSU to visit. But, I mean, everybody knows the history of LSU football in the last decade, and it's just been just 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Yeah. It was 1945. And they've been talking about making changes, and I know they, you know, bring in the right guys, but how did they sell you that this was the right thing?
You ever talked to Coach O before?
Okay, that's the next part of this, but I want to hear this. I want to hear this.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, everyone that's heard Coach O talk, he's a very inspirational, very persuading person, and he sold me on this vision, and, you know, I felt I was confident in myself that I was going to make whatever offense was there work. And, you know, I felt confident in myself, and I felt confident in Coach O and trusted Coach O that, you know, he was telling me the truth, that they were going to, you know, build this thing around me to do what we did this year.
So Coach O, you know, he's got the voice and he's got the histrionics, and he is, you can't, when he talks, everyone's just like, you're listening.
Yeah.
You know, for a variety of reasons.
One, the first one is you've got to try to understand them, so you're really
tuned
into it.
So what's his specialty beyond that as far as like a coach goes, or is it just that? Is it just the fact of the inspiration that he brings everybody?
So that's the biggest thing. And the second thing is people don't understand how smart of a coach he is. And so he's really, really good at defensive football, and he's learned how to coach offense as well. And something that not a lot of coaches are good at is delegating. And Coach O really understands what he does really well and what he doesn't do as well, and he finds people that are really, really good at what Coach O doesn't do very well and lets them do what they do well.
That makes sense.
As you guys are going through that march, I mean, there are just certain places where the fan base is such, sometimes the monkey on the back is such, where it almost feels like you're walking through a movie at a given time, but you also realize one slip up and this maybe all goes away. What was that run for you? Let's say, I don't know, November 1st on is where everyone's like, man, this might be the year.
I mean, the crazy thing is we knew we were going to do it back in July. Like, there was, like, we would talk about the season and we would be like, yeah, when we're in New Orleans for the Natty, like, it wasn't, you know, if we're going to be there. We knew we were going to be there and do what we did. So it was, we understood the work that we had put in. We understood the coaches we had. We understand the players we had coming back. So there was, I mean, an extreme amount of confidence going into the year.
Dude, it's so weird, too, because, you know, living here, there's tons of LSU fans and alumni and all that are rooting around here. Couple of dudes that I play golf with, and like before the Texas game, I'm talking to one of my friends, and he goes, you know, there's kind of quiet confidence. All this crap leaks out, you know, eventually, but there's quiet confidence that this is the best thing that this school has ever seen. And I'm like, how do you, and I jumped up his ass. I'm like, how do you know this?
Yeah.
Like, what do you, and then, you know, like it keeps going. He's like, I told you. I'm like, what? So a lot of people, it seemed like they knew that something was going on.
Yeah.
Your confidence rubbed off on people.
Yeah. And, you know, I tried to convey that confidence at, like, SEC Media Days. And I would be, you know, people said, you know, we've heard this before. And I was just like, yeah, just wait. And they'll be like, okay. And, you know, I said, we're going to throw the ball a lot. We're going to toss it around the yard, and nobody really believed me. I just kept saying, just wait, you'll see. You know, I'm not going to try to convince you now, but you'll be convinced by week two or three.
So what was the Joe Brady, I mean, as great as Coach O was and getting you there, what was the Joe Brady difference? Because that seemed to be like the linchpin of it all.
Yeah, so, you know, Coach Ensminger actually called the plays. And so we kind of built this offense from scratch with Coach Ensminger and Coach Joe. And then they had a lot of input from myself as well. And we built this thing together. And so we really took ownership of it and understood exactly what we were trying to do. And really the thing that enabled it all was the five-man protection like we were talking about before, because we had a running back that was basically a receiver out of the backfield, and we had five NFL guys in routes every single play, so you can't cover them all.
Yeah.
And as long as I was able to get those blitzes picked up, as long as our line was able to get those blitzes picked up, that's really what enabled us to do what we did.
This is Joe Burrow with us here on The Ticket. I'm going to take a chance here, Joe, because I love watching football, and I'm kind of a film nerd, if you will. And I was watching Derek Brown the other day, and there's a play where it kind of looks...
I know what you're going to say.
Like this entire dream ended in the blink of an eye. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he goes in low. It looks like your knee might be in some serious trouble.
Yeah.
And... Can you tell me what you remember from that moment? Because that was really scary, and I'm not sure anyone talked about it a whole lot, but I know you lived it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the main thing, it was a close game, so I was just trying to complete the ball, and we had a little choice right out of the backfield with Clyde. So I was really just focused on completing that ball, and then, you know, I got my knee hit, and I checked to make sure it was okay, and I went on play second down. That's about it.
Did you look at it later?
No, see,
No, I'm saying the film. The film
looks...
Looks really bad.
No, yeah, the film looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I'm a flexible guy.
Good.
We can get away with that
That's
stuff.
Very helpful sometimes.
Yeah. Have you owned this tux? Like, did you have this before the season started?
Nope. It was in my room, and I just put it on.
Really?
Yeah.
So you... Okay, because Baker... I don't think owned one. Kyler, for sure, he was like, oh, yeah, I have it. Why would I not have a tux? I'm like, well, because you're like 21.
Yeah.
Why would you need a tux? So this is, how many times have you had a tux on, like outside of a high school prom?
I didn't go to my senior prom.
Why?
I've worn a tux here, and I wore it
at the Heisman,
yeah.
Why didn't you go to your prom?
I wasn't a...
Prom guy?
Yeah, I'm not an activities guy.
What?
Yeah.
Activities.
An activities guy.
Yeah.
You mean
like
social? I don't like to do things.
I think I agree with you.
Yeah.
Same.
Maybe you need bunk beds.
It's not my cup of tea, like going out and doing stuff.
Like you like to stay in?
Yeah, I like to stay inside. I'm not a beach guy. I don't like to go sit on the beach. Not a hiker.
Okay.
I'm a ball player.
Sure.
All right, so well, that's great.
That serves you well.
Yeah, the Bengals will be glad to hear that. More ammo for you being number one. We'll send this to the Bengals. Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
But, like, I mean, is it just football and that's it? Like, are you wake up in the day and you're thinking football and you go and you train and whatever and nothing gets your attention otherwise? Or are you like other sports, obviously?
Yeah, I was a basketball player.
Very, very good one, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't bad.
I like this.
Yeah.
I like the downplaying.
Uh-huh.
Got to hustle once we get to the league.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll play some video games with my buddies from home, stay in touch with them. But other than that, it's football.
Can I ask you about Dot along those lines?
Yeah.
Do you know about Dot, Corby?
I don't think so.
Dot is his grandmother, I believe,
yep.
Who is famous in Louisiana or Mississippi?
Mississippi.
For scoring 82 in a game.
Oh, yeah, I read about that.
And averaging 50 for a season, maybe?
I think it was 60.
Okay. Oh, well, maybe
50 or 60, one of them.
The point is, she scored 82 in a game where the team scored 88, and I think the opponent had like 10 or something along those lines. She must have known her way around the basketball court as well.
Yeah, I imagine. I've never seen her shoot.
Okay.
But there's a story going around my family that, because I was back when they were playing 3-on-3 and like half court, because they didn't let the women go full court 5-on-5.
Sounds risky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then apparently they tried to put another girl on top of another girl's shoulders and cover her.
Was she tall? Or is she tall?
Yeah, she's pretty tall. She's definitely tall for back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was probably 5'10".
Wow. So your whole family, it's, you know, from grandmother on down, everybody.
82.
Everybody is an athlete. And so it's almost like it was in the cards for you, your brothers, your dad, your uncles, grandma, everybody. Do you look at that and you're like, I kind of have no choice?
I mean, not consciously, but that's what we did growing up. Like, we didn't go to church. We watched football.
Yeah. You didn't do activities.
Yeah, we didn't. We watched football. We watched basketball. We watched baseball.
Yeah.
And that's what we did.
Were you a big, who was your NBA team?
Cavs.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got your ring.
Yeah, we got it.
You're happy about that?
That was my redshirt freshman year at Ohio State, so that was a lot of fun.
Did you get to go any of the games?
No. We did not.
So you graduated at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to be a dummy here for a moment. While you're at LSU, are you working towards...
I got my master's.
No, okay, you got your master's.
Yeah.
I wondered what exactly is asked of you academically if you already have your degree.
Yeah, I got my degree in 3 and then got my master's in 4.5.
Dang. Okay, well, you're set then.
Yeah.
You're good to go.
Good to go.
He's got something to fall back on.
What'd you get your master's in, man?
Liberal arts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where would that lead? Let's just say that... You just said, you know what? I'm done playing football. You put this tux up tonight, and you just go out and you say, I'm doing liberal arts. What would you do?
So I got my undergrad in consumer family finance. So I did an internship with Goldman Sachs a couple of years ago. So I'm a investment banking, you know, financial sector kind of guy.
Would that anything like that interest you at all, though? If football wasn't an option, are you like, would you be bummed to do it, or would you be all in?
It's not option number one, you know. It's I think I would be good at it, but I got something a little more pressing.
Yeah. What? Where's time travel in all this? Based on my reading, I at least know you have a slight interest in time travel.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I don't know what kind of radio show this is. What? How long you got?
I want to hear it.
Probably
hear
more
it.
Time than you do, based on the entourage. But I'm interested.
Yeah. So. The theory is the closer you approach the speed of light, the slower time is. So you go the speed of light, and then you come back to Earth, and like 1 year is like 10 to 20 years. So you come back, and you're the same age, basically, and everyone else is way older.
Right. That's the theory?
Yeah, no, I just read a bunch of
that's
stuff.
That's
the and relay to people,
what do they
yeah.
call that? The sub
superluminal time travel.
There
yeah.
you go. There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a particular movie that you think captures this at all?
Bill and Ted.
Interstellar.
Interstellar. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Absolutely.
Wait, which one's Interstellar? Who was in that?
That's it.
Oh, McConaughey. I was thinking of the Brad Pitt one.
Texas guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Did you get to meet him that night?
I did not. I don't think he wanted to.
Probably not. Probably not.
So if the cards are all aligned, it looks like, you know, Cincinnati could be home. Is that, growing up, and obviously that's your dream, could you envision being that close to home?
I did not, no. It's an interesting... You know, going back home to Ohio, it would be a lot of fun. It would. But I grew up actually a Saints fan. I like Drew Brees and Reggie Bush.
Is that the Mississippi angle from your family being there? Or you just...
No, I just like Drew Brees and Reggie Bush, so I decided to be a Saints fan. Because we moved around a lot when I was super little, because my dad was a football coach. And when we got to Ohio, that was around the same time Drew Brees and Reggie Bush were there, had just got there. And so I was like, yeah, let's be a Saints fan.
So were you freaked out the first time you met Drew?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and I was trying to keep my cool.
Yeah.
The first time I met him was at our Friday walkthrough before the game. I guess it would be a Sunday walkthrough before the game on Monday.
The national championship
game?
You've not met him in the last couple of years?
No,
really?
I haven't. Yeah, that was the first time, and you know, I was trying.
Coach
to keep...
Brady didn't.
Yeah,
come
it seemed like
no.
He could have made that happen pretty easily.
We probably could have, but you know, I'm not an activities guy, so I don't know.
Okay, yeah, back to that. It's tough to get him to come to you.
But, that was the first time I met him. I was trying to keep my cool, talking about, like, yeah, the Clemson defense, they're going to do this on third down, second down. Drew Brees, yeah, I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And he was like, nice, nice. So I was fired up.
Man, that's awesome. One of our buddies up at the station is a big Ohio guy.
Oh, yeah?
And he was a little worried about you and the Skyline Chili thing there early on as it pertained to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
He just knows that that's pretty important
yeah,
to Cincinnati.
Yeah, it definitely is, yeah. And
it is garbage, though, isn't it?
It's not my favorite in the world.
You've come out strongly against
yeah.
it.
It sounds horrible. Like
I mean, you've seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't understand it, but we're not Ohioans.
Is it a late night thing, or is it
no.
like... It's just whenever?
They'll eat it whenever, yeah.
I mean, it looks... Describe it for people who don't know what it is.
So there's the Coney's. That's just a hot dog with a mountain of cheese and a mountain of this thing that they call chili, and it's basically just, like, meat sauce. And then there's a thing called a three-way, which is the exact same thing, but it's spaghetti underneath instead of the hot dog.
Dude, no.
Yeah, that's what he mentioned, is
no.
the three-way
yeah.
stuff.
It just seems so... Like such a heart attack waiting to happen.
Yeah,
you know?
it's not my favorite.
Okay, well they won't be reaching out then. I'm sure
I won't get any Skyline endorsements.
Dang many it. Others,
well,
many others. Joe,
play your cards right.
All right, dude. Well, enjoy the night. Thanks for sitting down with us. Good luck wherever your travels take you, and congrats on an amazing 6 months.
I
man.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
You bet.
Unbelievable. Good to see you, man.
There he goes, the great Joe Burrow. We'll
yeah.
start the show next.